This week's Star Trek Discovery Recap is sponsored by our friends over at TrueCar. TrueCar's got some useful tips that you may not be aware of for our universe or the mirror universe. A coffee filter and just a little bit of olive oil can help clean your car's interior. You can also remove excess weight from your car to improve gas mileage, and you can also use your keychain remote right under your chin, and it will improve the distance from which it works. That's weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might not know about. TrueCar is also going to help you find a used car, too. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying a new car. With the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people paid, so you know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. You'll also be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Star Trek Discovery Season 1, Episode 11, The Wolf Inside is over, but we're just getting started here on the Star Trek Discovery post-show recap. And now, here are the two people who at least know to bow in front of the Emperor. Long live the Empire. I'm Rob Sisson here with Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. On my way in here tonight, I ran into this chick that looked exactly like me, except she was a Klingon, so I nuked her from orbit, and I'm here now and ready to podcast.
Smarter move than to just go out and hang out with them. Jess, we have so much to talk about here on the second episode of the second half of the Discovery season, and things are really heating up in the Mirror Universe.
Well, I think it's amazing that all of the other series, I think as we discussed last week, all of the other Star Trek series will go to the Mirror Universe for an episode at a time, and they'll wrap up the story and then go back to their universe. And here they're stretching it out, but they are packing so much more action. I feel like the plot just moves forward and moves forward relentlessly, and it's really starting to get exciting.
A lot of stuff is going on. I actually, over the past week, I went and I watched the two-part Enterprise episode in the Mirror Universe, which actually figures at least somewhat into the plot going on here with that Defiant ship that they're mentioning. So maybe we will touch on that a little bit. But at least the Enterprise went to the Mirror Universe for two episodes, Jess. So this is, but we're uncharted waters to have a whole half season set in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah, we're breaking records all the time.
So we have a lot of stuff to get into, of course, that if you want to send in your questions to the show, you can do so every week. StarTrek@postshowrecaps.com. We just started doing that. So if you have questions for next week's episode, after you watch it, feel free to fire away with your photon torpedo questions and just completely feel free to blow us up with anything you might want to know. So, Jess, we have to start with our top story at this hour from the In Case You Were Living Under a Vok department. Vok is Tyler. Tyler is Vok. Not since Finkel and Einhorn have we had such a case of mistaken identity.
Yeah, that was not something that was a huge surprise to people that have been following in the fan theories. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it called as early as episode 4. Mm-hmm. Actually, episode 5 was when we saw Tyler, and episode 4 was the last time we saw Vok. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think, end of episode 5, people were already starting to call it.
Yeah, and so they tried to keep it a secret. I think at one point that Vok was being listed on IMDb with the same actor who plays Ash Tyler, which was not great for keeping it a secret. But now the cat is out of the bag, and we had Ash Tyler actually getting to see Vok face to face, Jess.
That was pretty exciting. I mean, a lot of times you see people in the Star Trek universe meeting their Mirror Universe selves and interacting with their Mirror Universe selves. Memorably on Deep Space Nine, Mirror Universe Kira tried to seduce herself.
Whoa.
But very rarely do you see such clashing. And I think this is safe to say it is the most different that someone's Mirror Universe self has looked.
I'm so confused about what is going on here with Ash Tyler now, Jess. Was Ash Tyler ever a real person?
Yes, Ash Tyler was definitely, he had to be a real person because they had to have a Starfleet personnel file, because otherwise he's just some random Earthling. I would say there's an outside chance that the Klingons had some really good hackers who were able to create a whole false record and dossier, but I believe Ash Tyler was a real guy in Starfleet who's probably dead, and they modeled Vok after that Ash Tyler and gave him some of his personality and his background, because it's a lot of work to make that up out of nothing.
So, Jess, as far as I understand, so Ash Tyler, captured by the Klingons, and he's in the Klingon prison, and then they end up doing these experiments with him. They turn Vok into basically like a human carbon copy of the Ash Tyler. And then, so, like at a Black Mirror, they upload Ash Tyler's consciousness onto the copy of Vok in the Ash Tyler body.
Something like that. I don't know if it's that Black Mirror-y, but it does seem like that's similar to what happened.
It seems like they could have just saved a lot of work just taking the Vok consciousness and then just uploaded that onto the existing Ash Tyler rather than having poor Vok go through all these surgeries.
Yeah, and you know, Klingons have two hearts, so they had to take one of those out. I think he's got like two spleens or some other Klingon thing. So, it seems like maybe, or maybe they needed parts of Ash Tyler to create this new Ash Tyler. Like, what if that's his face, like all Travolta Cage style?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know exactly how this ends up working. And I don't think that the show is going to give us much more of an explanation. But now, is the Ash Tyler officially that we knew gone and now Vok has taken over?
I would say whatever happened to that guy, we are probably not going to find out, and he's probably not going to show up. Although there's an outside chance we run into his mirror universe counterpart at some point, and it's like real Ash Tyler and fake Ash Tyler and Michael Burnham have some kind of love triangle. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm spitballing here. I think if anything, we might see him in the mirror universe. We won't see him in the Prime universe.
Right. Now, Vok, the Prime Vok in the Ash Tyler body, does not seem too concerned with the mirror universe angle of everything.
No, I think he understands that this is his universe, and I think he has a set of rules that he feels like they must apply to all of the universes. And if he sees someone who is violating those rules,
even if it's himself,
he's going to come for them.
He has to fight Vok because he is not agreeing to the binding law of remain Klingon.
Yeah. And I think there might be a point. I'm not sure Ash Tyler realizes yet that he's Vok. I think maybe he's a little slow on the uptake in that regard.
So he doesn't know that that was him. He just is what?
He's like, yeah, that's a really handsome Klingon.
It's a handsome Klingon, but he's not remaining Klingon. He hangs out with a bad crew of Tellarites and Vulcans and Andorians. I don't like it. I'm going to headbutt this guy.
Yeah, pretty much. He's got some bad ideas, even though he's super good looking.
Okay, so at the point where then, okay, Ash Tyler or Vok tries to attack Michael Burnham in her quarters, and then they take him away and they're going to beam him out into space. Now he's full Vok at that point, right? The entire time?
Yep.
Okay.
He's full Vok.
And does he want to see Michael Burnham get busted? I mean, why doesn't he say anything to the mirror? If he understands what's going on, they're in a mirror universe. She is pretending, like, does he have access to the Ash Tyler memories?
It's hard to tell. It seems like maybe he switches on and off. Like, I mean, not to spoil another series. I'm going to spoil another series. Like Elliot Alderson and Mr. Robot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they coexist in the same brain, and sometimes one of them shuts off and the other one comes out.
I didn't think it was such a hot idea when Michael Burnham asked Ash Tyler while he was on the transporter platform, any last words? Like, I would have just liked to say, like, all right, time to go. I would not have invited him to speak more because God knows what he's going to say. He could say, like, hey, everybody, just so you know, that is not your captain.
Yeah, or he could say, yeah, just so you know, when she punched me, she stuck something in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole number of things that he could have potentially said that, you know, I don't know how, like, what he knows and what he doesn't know. So this is very confusing to me in terms of the Vok-Tyler dynamic. And then they're going to take Vok and put him in the brig, and he's going to be, like, chatting it up with Laurel the whole time.
I think they probably have two different brigs.
They better have two different brigs. Just something else I don't understand about the Mirror Universe. Now, isn't Discovery a science vessel? I mean, hasn't that been like a mentioned as a plot point in season one of Star Trek Discovery?
Well, they are a science vessel, but they've also been described repeatedly as the most powerful weapon that the Federation has at their disposal because of that spore drive.
Because of the spore drive, right. So why would the Empire, the Terran Empire, why would they develop a ship? Like, why does their fleet of ships look exactly the same as the USS Discovery? Like, wouldn't their ships, like, have just like a million turrets and photon torpedo cannons? Like, why would they design a ship that is exactly the same as a science vessel like Discovery?
Well, that was my question for you, Rob, actually. Like, do we know that Mirror Discovery has a spore drive, or is the spore drive limited to one universe?
I believe that the spore drive is only for our Discovery. I do not believe that they have it in the Mirror Universe.
I guess we're probably going to find that out at some point. They'll be able to use the spore drive to get themselves out of a situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that wasn't clear to me because then, I mean, we're going to get into this a little bit later on, but then you have Stamets talking to Mirror Stamets in the, like, mental spore forest. I didn't know if that meant that Mirror Discovery also has that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. We have not seen Mirror Stamets and what's going on with him. So it is possible that Stamets may have developed a spore drive in the Mirror Universe. Is there a Mirror Tardigrade, Jess?
I'm sure there's a Mirror Tardigrade. There's a Mirror everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But although I have to say, I think what probably happened in the Mirror Universe if they built a spore drive was they exploited the Tardigrade until it died because they had no compassion for it the way that we did in our universe.
Yeah. So we don't exactly know what's going to be going on with any of that. Jess, I guess let's also talk through the other big reveal from this episode where the Empress has been revealed, and it is none other than Empress Georgiou.
Who called that?
You did. I didn't see it coming. Gotta say I'm a little underwhelmed in terms of Empress Georgiou.
Yeah, it wasn't a shock. I was kind of hoping for there to be a shock, but I guess Captain Killy is the shock, and then this is just sort of like, well, who haven't we seen yet?
That would have been a little more exciting to have somebody like, you know, I guess if you are a Captain Georgiou stan, then I guess you were pretty pumped up about this. But I was just a little underwhelmed. I think I was just whelmed.
Yeah. I think a bigger shock would have been if they'd figured out how to bring somebody from Enterprise over, or somebody from the original series, like a character that we already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that would have been potentially a little more interesting.
Could have been a little more interesting, but that's what it is. And we'll see a lot from the Empress coming up next week. And, you know, we talked about last week about how, you know, has the Emperor ever been really addressed or explored in the Star Trek canon? And so I did go back and I watched this two-part Enterprise episode over the past week. And so what happens in that episode, just to give you the really quick synopsis of that, is that there is a, just like the entire two-part episode is just set in the Mirror Universe, and there's like no crossover with the actual, you know, Scott Bakula helmed Archer, you know, our prime universe Enterprise. It's just all about what's going on the ISS Enterprise in the Mirror Universe.
So they don't go there. They just, it's like, by the way, here's what's happening in the Mirror Universe.
Right. It's just that it's completely just a self-contained two-part episode in the Mirror Universe. But as they head into Tholian space, it turns out that there is a ship that is from the Universe Prime that is there. And it is a 23rd century Constitution class starship. So basically an exact replica of the original series Enterprise. And so it's not just the Mirror Universe, but then they're like wearing the original Star Trek uniforms because they're on this Constitution class starship. And at the end of that Enterprise episode, Sato ends up becoming the Empress, that she is at the helm of the Defiant, the 23rd century vessel, which gives them a lot of power. So I'm not sure how much they have adapted the technology from the Enterprise era, which is, you know, a good like 100 years before the events of what's going on in the Enterprise timeline.
Yeah, they must have been able to glean something by now.
Yeah, maybe something bad happened to Sata. Maybe that ship like self-destructed or something like that, where they never really got that much technology out of there. Because again, the Mirror Discovery universe does not. I mean, I guess that the Terran Empire is really in pretty good shape, but they don't seem to have a super advanced technology. Although they do have like cool holograms that can walk up steps.
Yeah. I mean, they got that going for them.
Yeah.
And they've got like super secret channels.
Mm-hmm. So they got a couple different things going on. So let's talk about what's going on the Rebel planet, Jess. And we end up with sort of like this bizarro Federation where we end up seeing Vok, and he has a much cooler nickname. What do they call him? The Fire Wolf?
Yes, the Fire Wolf.
Yes. So, I mean, that's a pretty good nickname if you can get it.
It sounds like he made it up himself.
Yeah, that's classic Vok. And so there's lots of classic Vok stations that are out there in the 23rd century. And just so the Klingons, they are working with the Vulcans. They are working with the Andorians. They're working with the Tellarites. They form sort of this bizarro Federation of planets.
It's like everybody except the Terrans.
Yes, yes. So, Jess, this is my question about the Mirror Universe. Are the Vulcans, are they in the Mirror Universe, like, in terms of, like, are they any different? Are the Andorians any different? Is it basically, did the Klingons and humans, do they just switch personalities in the Mirror Universe? Or are all races and species, are they all opposite?
I think the Vulcans seem to still be Vulcans.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to still, like, they dress kind of badly and they have the terrible haircuts and they still do the mind meld. So I would say Vulcans are pretty much fundamentally similar, and it's always the logical thing to be part of this Federation.
Are the humans just so terrible in the Mirror Universe that everybody just has to band together? Like, are the Klingons different? Are the Tellarites different? I mean, like, when you had Mirror Kira, was Mirror Kira really evil?
Oh, yeah, she was super evil.
Super evil. So, okay, so the Bajorans also were mirrored. So it seems like in this Mirror Universe that you just switch it around where the humans are really bad, but everybody else seems like they're pretty chill.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more like they're fundamentally the same kind of people for the most part, but circumstances force them to work with each other.
Okay.
And it turns out, like, maybe the only trait that the Klingons swapped with the humans is the terrible racism.
Did you feel like that Michael Burnham's plan to be very sympathetic to what was going on in the Mirror Universe? I mean, was she demonstrating too much humanity in terms of not wanting to see the rebels in the Mirror Universe wiped out?
Well, I think someone who's not been in the Mirror Universe and doesn't really know how to navigate it with perfect diplomatic aplomb would have that same reaction. I think anybody with any kind of conscience is thinking, well, yeah, this is the Mirror Universe and it doesn't really affect what's going on with me and I need to do the thing to get me back. But on the other hand, I'm going to kill all of these people and they didn't do anything to me, and they're probably on my side if we really think hard about it. Oh, yeah, and one of them is my dad, which she finds out later.
Mm-hmm. Adopted dad.
Yeah, yeah, but still.
What does the Prime Directive say about this, Jess?
The Prime Directive deals with when you're meeting a species for the first time.
What about people from a universe from a first time?
I don't think the Prime Directive really covers universes. I think the Prime Directive assumes that if you're out there in space and you've already been discovered, that they don't really care about you.
You know what I can't get over is that there is no communication between the ISS Discovery and Michael Burnham and Ash Tyler where it's like, okay, we're beaming down to the planet. We'll call you. Do not watch what we're doing. Do not listen in on our comm signal or anything like that. We will call you when, and they're just out there creating all of this mischief while they're out there where I can't imagine that in 2018 that the Army or NASA like just sends people out on missions and then is like, okay, well, let us know when you're back. And there's no sort of like monitoring of what's happening.
Yeah, it sure seems like they'd at least want to eavesdrop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even in Star Trek The Next Generation, you know, there's a lot of like listening over the radio. You would think that they would at least on Discovery with all this hologram technology, whether we have like some sort of a camera drone that's accompanying them or we can zoom in far enough down onto the surface of the planet. It just seems so bizarre that they're like, all right, well, we'll get back to you.
Yeah, I mean, in 2018, you can get an HD camera embedded in a ballpoint pen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can buy this for like $40 at a spy store, and they can't do that in the Star Trek universe.
Well, maybe in the Mirror universe that the captains need to really protect what's going on, that they don't want any sort of squealing back to the Emperor in terms of how they're conducting their business.
Yeah, and I suppose the Rebels probably sweep for that kind of thing, too. Like, they checked them for weapons.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd also check them for spy gear.
Okay. So we end up on this planet and we end up seeing that Ash Tyler and Michael Burnham get captured and luckily not just killed in the field, and they get brought back there. And Vok is not buying anything of what Michael Burnham is selling. And they have Sarek that they call the Prophet, Jess.
So does everybody get cool cold names when you're a rebel?
I think it's
Get to make up your own?
Like Stealth R Us, I think.
Yeah. Oh, so they have their own Philip Shepard who's just like assigning
that's
it to
Vok.
People.
Yes.
Oh, so Vok says, I'm the Firewolf.
Yes.
You're the Prophet.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what nickname they gave the Tellarite, right?
The Tellarite is Mr. Handsome.
What about the Andorian?
The Andorian is Smurfette.
Those are pretty good nicknames.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying.
And so Michael Burnham is like pleading with them of, hey, trust me, I'm here to help you. Why doesn't she play the Mirror Universe card?
Yeah, that I'm not sure of. Maybe it's possible that they don't want to introduce the concept of the Mirror Universe. This is Prime Directive stuff right here, Rob. Maybe they don't want to introduce the concept of the Mirror Universe to people that they aren't sure know the Mirror Universe exists.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because that's a card you don't want to play. You don't want everybody to know about the Mirror Universe because then everybody's going to want in on the Mirror Universe. And then you have like you have to establish like universe to universe relationships. And that really does kind of blow the Prime Directive out of the water.
Yeah, I think the other issue there with telling about the Mirror Universe, I think there'd be a little bit just like we saw with Saru. Oh, what am I like in the Mirror Universe? What am I like? And then when Vok is like, oh, so what are the Klingons like? Well,
they're not little wimps like you.
Everybody kind of hates you guys. You're kind of terrible and you are attacking everybody. And even though you're leading the resistance here, bad news, Vok, you are kind of like the face of the, you know, movement to try to get all of the non-Klingons out of the Klingon Empire.
Yeah, now you look like that guy.
Yeah, and then you underwent a rigorous plastic surgery to become human that I don't know how much that bothers you, but it really bothers the you from our universe. He does not really care for that. So, yeah, I think it maybe might have led to some complicated questions.
Yeah, I think it does. And then it's kind of like, well, it sounds like we got a better deal over there. Maybe I could go with you. And then you got to tell everybody, no, you can't go with us. And so I think the Mirror Universe card is not a card you want to play unless you have no cards left. And I think Michael Burnham had a lot of cards left.
Yet she does the mind meld with Sarek, and Sarek doesn't come out of the mind meld. Guys, no. Listen to this. This is crazy. Okay, so there's another universe. You're there. I mean, Sarek doesn't mention this.
No, Sarek doesn't mention this because I think,
like, that's weird.
He doesn't really know what he saw. I think what he sees is that this woman is his daughter. He's like, but I don't have a daughter. I just got this one good for nothing son. And he's not exactly sure what to make of what he saw. He just knows that it's the truth because of the mind meld. So he's just got to say, okay, I don't know what that was all about, but I know that she has good intentions.
What has Sarek predicted that he's a prophet?
Well, I think he can do the mind meld, so he
not
can
that
predict.
The Empire is coming.
Yeah, apparently not. He can predict what's in people's brains.
Yeah,
he's like, I can tell you what you're thinking about
if we do a mind meld.
Yeah, my thoughts to your thoughts. You want a sandwich?
So, Jess, there ends up being this whole big fight that ends up breaking out where we end up seeing that Vok gets triggered and then he ends up talking about Kalis once again and then starts to fight the real Vok. I feel like that Ash Tyler Vok Tyler, he gets off pretty easy during all of this.
Yeah, it sure seems like. And again, like, one of the narrative flaws, I think, across this whole arc is how much latitude everybody gives Ash Tyler for no apparent reason. They don't know this guy. He just showed up in jail one day. And I don't know about you, Rob, but in this universe, I kind of don't just like hang out with my buddies from jail all the time and assume that they're always on the up and up.
Yeah, but did you meet them in jail like Lorca did?
Well, that's the thing. Like, they met in jail. Lorca, like, doesn't even know really where this guy came from, except for what's in his personnel file. He doesn't know what the Klingons did to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, hey, you seem cool. Let's break out of prison together. And then all of a sudden, he's in charge of everything on the ship. Like,
yeah.
I guess, like, I know they ran tests on him to say he's not a sleeper agent, but guess what? He is a sleeper agent. So nice tests, guys.
Cut Culber some slack, Jess.
I guess, but it got him killed. You know, cutting him slack got him killed.
Well, can I also say, how do they not know who killed Culber? I mean, isn't there a ship's log? Isn't there some sort of like thing monitoring what's happening in sickbay?
Yeah, once again, they don't have security
cameras.
We can't
go back and watch the security footage?
I mean, they must at this point because they clearly know that things are not right with Ash Tyler now.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think they're kind of cottoning on to the idea that maybe he had something to do with Culber's death.
I mean, could they look at the records of what Culber was working on? I mean, I had to think that he would have brought up Ash Tyler's file right before he ends up getting murdered.
Yeah, I mean, he had the x-rays like up on the x-ray thing.
That really was the one that I enjoyed this episode, but I'm saying to myself, like, really? We're going to act like we can't figure out that Ash Tyler killed Culber? We're going to blame Stamets for this?
Yeah, like, who's Stamets?
Catatonic?
Whose neck is Stamets going to break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, you saw Saru and Tilly talking about this in the episode of, like, oh, maybe he didn't know what he was doing. But yet, Tyler was in sickbay, and nobody is thought to check any sort of log of anything that's going on. Anyway, that being said, Jess, let's talk a little bit about Stamets and what's going on with him. I have to say, I am a little bit over the Stamets is sort of in some altered state. I think we've had like two episodes of like regular Stamets throughout the history of the show.
Yeah, I think maybe regular Stamets could have stuck around for a bit longer before turning into like super spore Stamets.
Yeah, he's super sporey and he's like talking about nonsense in some of the episodes. He's like feeling like, oh, he's like groovy. And then another episode, now he's just rambling about nonsense and gibberish.
Yeah, and don't we already have a character that's kind of two different people?
Yeah. So there's a lot of that going on. I just hope that they can fix Stamets pretty soon, because this guy that is talking about don't go in the palace and then don't go in the forest, and I can see the forest through the trees. Let's just get him back to a normal person.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like we are not getting there anytime soon, though. It looks like he's going on a nature hike and he's meeting a guy that looks an awful lot like him.
Okay. So is this mirror Stamets, or is this some other universe's Stamets?
It could be that there's just, like, maybe on this astral plane of the Spore Forest, there are, like, it's every Stamets in every universe.
Every
Stamets. He's just going to meet lots and lots of them.
It's going to be like when Worf was shifting between all the different dimensions.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a lot like that. I think he meets, like, I don't know if that's the Mirror Universe Stamets or if it's a Mirror Universe Stamets. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's just, like, infinite Stamets.
Yeah. Will there be one Stamets that's on a Discovery that has been chased by the Borg for years and be very desperate?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. We're allowing for all possibilities.
Yeah. In one universe, the Borg is definitely giving Discovery a lot of problems. Anyway, so Stamets, it looks like that Tilly saved him, would you say?
Yeah, it looked like he was a goner, and it looks like she brought him back.
Okay, so she got him back, and maybe once we get back to the Universe Prime, maybe Saru is going to put in some sort of a reference for Tilly to begin going to the command track.
You just know that Saru lives to put notes in people's files.
Yeah. Well, of course, he's Starfleet officer, one of the few Kelpian around here now that we're in the Mirror Universe, although the Bizarro Saru is a slave on board Discovery, and he is sort of the handmaiden of the captain.
I really didn't know how to feel about that. I'm like, if I'm Michael Burnham, I might be like, okay, slave, how about you take the night off? Because I'm not comfortable with someone who looks just like Saru giving me a bath and watching me have sex and whatever else goes on.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of uncomfortable. And I guess Michael Burnham has a better poker face than I do, because I'm not sure I could have gotten through that.
Jess, how practical is it for Captain Burnham to have a bathtub in her quarters?
I don't think you care about practicality when you're the captain. I think you care about getting treated right.
I don't know. From every single one of these starships that I see on these shows, I feel like there's a lot of turbulence in space. I feel like that the bath seems like not such a hot idea.
Yeah, I can imagine it would get messy, but that's why you have a slave.
Yeah, I guess so. So Saru has a mop nearby.
Yeah, there's like a mop and a bucket, and Saru's job, like in between bathing her, is to take care of all the splashback.
Now, Michael Burnham has basically sort of like a big studio as her captain's quarters. I think that's a bold placement of the bathtub, just sort of like in the center of the room.
Well, there's a lot of things about this room that are pretty bold.
Yeah.
So
does Michael Burnham have a shower as well?
I'm sure she has an ensuite shower. She probably has one of those like special like rain showers with like all the different jets.
Mm-hmm. We say, is this more of a jacuzzi tub? Like, is this more for entertaining?
I think you can do both. It looked like you could fit another person in there quite comfortably. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of like a high roller suite at a casino.
Yes. One thing about the Mirror Universe, it does seem as though there is more salacious activity going on in the Mirror Universe from what I've noticed in these different Star Trek episodes. In the Enterprise episodes, a lot of the Mirror Starfleet officers are wearing sort of like midriffs, so people have a lot less hang-ups in the Mirror Universe, Jess.
They're a lot more body confident. I think they're very body positive in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah. So that's a great message from the Mirror Universe, I think.
I guess like that's the one good thing we're getting from the Mirror Universe. And that was some killer lingerie that Michael Burnham had.
Yeah. So good for Michael Burnham. I don't know where Ash Tyler was during that.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like, what did she do? She just like, do they just like go through all of like Captain Michael Burnham's stuff and were like, wow, this looks pretty cool. I'm going to try it on.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Why not?
Somewhere in the regular universe. We talked about this in the previous episode. Are you more or less convinced that the mirror discovery is hanging out in our universe?
I'm sure that is where the mirror discovery is.
Will we see an episode where mirror discovery is trying to figure out what is going on, or we just don't care about them?
I feel like maybe Enterprise already did that.
Yeah.
So I would guess like we probably meet, if that's Mirror Stamets that he's meeting, we probably meet that guy. But I don't think we go too deeply into what's going on over there.
Okay, Jess, what's next for Michael Burnham here in the Mirror Universe? She's talking with Lorca, and Lorca seems like he's getting cold feet in terms of what they wanted to do in this mission.
Well, we had some feedback about Lorca somewhere in all the different places we get feedback. People were positing that maybe Lorca was in a special torture chamber that wasn't really torturing him and he was pretending to be tortured. But seeing Lorca this week, I'm going to say that was not the case because that dude looked shook.
He did not seem like himself at all. And the agonizer booth has broken many a person. The way that it works is that it just like keeps shifting the like parts of your brain that it's attacking. So you never get used to the pain. The agonizer is rough, Jess.
Yeah. It does seem like they were a little bit cavalier about the fact that they were throwing Lorca in the agonizer when they were discussing how this plan was going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, you'll go in the agonizer. It ain't no thing. And he is here to tell you that it is kind of a thing.
We hopefully will have Saru figure out what is going on the disc that Michael Burnham planted on Ashtar. What'd you think of the switcheroo where he got beamed out into space and then beamed back onto Discovery? Did you like how they pulled that off?
I mean, I assumed that was what was going on there because otherwise they would have killed him some other better way.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was some kind of hinky thing going down.
Yeah.
When she beamed him out there herself, mm-hmm. instead of like just letting someone else do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was not a huge shocker.
Yeah, I definitely suspected there was some sleight of hand, but I thought that maybe she might have beamed him down to the planet as opposed to beaming him out into space and then having
Discovery.
Well,
that wouldn't have ended well.
Yeah. Well, because you could beam him to a different part of the planet that's not being blown up by, like, it's not like they had the Death Star and they blew up the whole planet of the Rebel base.
Yeah, I guess so. They're so weird about planets in these sci-fi universes where, like, you know, Earth has many different nations and cultures and cities. And then in the Star Trek universe, like everyone on a planet has the same culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Jess, I don't know. Maybe in the Mirror universe, that's how it works.
Yeah, well, maybe in the Mirror universe, they're just way more racist.
Well, that goes without saying. That's the race as in like races from different planets, that they're very racist in that way.
Yeah, they continue to be. But anyway, like my point is
humans equal in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah. But when they're shooting the planet and like blowing stuff up on the planet, I'm kind of thinking in my head, well, you don't want to be on the planet, but it's a planet. So I guess you could be elsewhere on the planet. Like maybe there's a resort on the other side that she could beam him down to.
Right. So where do you think this goes now with Empress Georgiou?
Well, I think that Michael Burnham's going to have to be extra careful not to implicate herself in anything suggesting that she's anybody other than Captain Michael Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be challenging. And I think if anybody's going to blow their cover, I think Georgiou could probably figure it out.
And then do you see there being any sort of lesson learned here in the Mirror Universe that helps the overall Klingon conflict? Or is Star Trek Discovery just saying like, hey, we want to spend 6 episodes in the Mirror Universe and we're just going to do it and then we'll reconvene with the Klingons when we get to season 2?
Well, I think we'll probably have at least one episode where something they've learned in the Mirror Universe helps them with the Klingons in their universe.
Yeah.
I think that has to happen. Otherwise, we kind of lose a lot of momentum. So I'm going to suspect that there's something, even if it's just as simple as, we are learning fundamental truths about the Klingons from that worthless conversation I had with Mirror Universe Valk, and we're learning what Klingons are like and how their psychology is, and we can use that to talk to them and broker a peace. That could be where we're going.
Because it's almost like if Valk Tyler could have seen what was going on in the Mirror Universe and been like, oh my God, the Klingons could sort of work with the Vulcans and the Andorians and the Tellarites. What a fool I've been this whole time. I thought that only Klingons could be Klingons with each other. And I feel so stupid now. I need to go back and tell everybody the error of my ways. But I don't know if we have that from anybody.
No, we don't. I think if we get it from anybody, it'll be Burnham.
Yeah. What is she going to do? She's going to go back and tell people about how in the Mirror Universe, the Klingons are nice?
Yeah. She's like, they have niceness in them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to tap into that. It's going to be like she's going to use child psychology on them or something.
Do you feel like she will push to change the ultimate direction of the battle with the Klingons to not make it about destroying the Klingons?
I think she will, because I think Burnham has this tremendous pressure on her because she is the one who arguably started this whole war to begin with.
Yes.
She feels responsible for the fact that the war is even going on. So I think she feels like it falls to her to resolve it and wrap it up. And so she's going to need to employ everything she's learned over here about what is fundamentally true about Klingons. And I think she's going to be the one to tie it all up.
Jess, what else from the 11th episode of Star Trek Discovery?
I think it's interesting that Slave Saru ended up being the one that saved Michael Burnham.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. And
she said, I will call you Saru.
Yeah, that whole a slave has no name thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really think at a certain point you have to give people names. Otherwise, how are you keeping track of them?
Well, maybe he's the only slave that lives in her quarters.
Well, then you call him, and then his name is Slave, I guess.
Yeah, Slavey McSlave Face.
Yeah, Slavey McSlaverson.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll call you Saru. And how do we know that his actual name is Saru?
Yeah, I think
well, you can call me that, but that's not my name. I don't know where you got that from.
Yeah, and it seems like he probably had a name at some point, unless they've taken over his homeworld and are now like breeding them specifically to be slaves, like something out of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably had a name that somebody called him at some point.
All right, Jess. And then we will pick things up next week when we see what happens with Michael Burnham and the Emperor and Lorca and everything going on in the Mirror Universe.
And the rest.
Okay. Speaking of mirror universes, that Jess and I had the pleasure of discussing the Black Mirror universe with Mike Bloom on our most recent episode of Poster Recaps. Jess, I had a lot of fun going through all that, and it's been very fun to get people's reactions to season 4 of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I think we've gotten a lot of tweets from people telling us that our episode rankings are really wrong.
Yes, a lot. Have you had more people telling you that yours were right, though?
I think so. Well, what we're doing is I think we're getting a lot of people like tweeting at one of us saying yours were the closest to mine. And here's
I would
switch these two.
Yes. Yes.
You're right because
you agree
I
with
share
me.
Your opinion. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I hope that that changes in the Mirror Universe. I hope that people just have the convictions of their opinion that people are right, even if they don't agree with me.
Yeah, well, in the Mirror Universe, their Black Mirror Universe favorites are very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So check that out on postshowrecaps.com. And then, of course, if you have questions about the next Star Trek episode, you can email the show, StarTrek@postshowrecaps.com. Follow Jessica Leese on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Looking forward to digging into episode number 12 of Star Trek Discovery with you next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.